Hello. And a nice deep breath. And here we are, the Bromley Buzz.
From, well, I was going to say Sunny Sundridge, with Twilight Sundridge.
Twilight, yes. Sundridge. And you are Darren Wheel of Intune PR. And I'm Zeenat Narani, the Clarity Coach.
Indeed you are. And we are sponsored, the Bromley Buzz, by Terra Firma Landscapes and Ian Wood Property, respectively. Thank you, chaps. Yes.
Thank you very much. And of course, you can find us every Monday at 10 a.m. or on the Bromley Radio, generally on Saturdays, where you can listen to our latest shows.
Yep.
Which is great.
Especially on those occasions where I remember to send the download over to the respective Channel Radio and Bromley Radio.
Bromley
which
Radio.
I'm in doubt about at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Dear. Yeah, do catch up on those channels. And of course, also available on all the Audible platforms. You can't go without a buzz.
No. And if you want a visual buzz, you are to our website, bromleybuzz.uk.
There you go. Mm. So, what's been buzzing for you this week?
I think most of all, it would be, even though it seems like about 10 years ago now, Saturday night, where you, Sarah Marsh Collins of Babel Monkey Digital Marketing, and I and my wife Jackie got together at our home and had
a potluck dinner. Yes, we did. That was a real buzz.
Indeed, and a very wide selection of alcoholic drinks.
Well, yeah, it was very, very wide.
It was, yeah. Well, I had this sort of chocolatey espresso martini.
We did,
thing.
Which you actually drank most of it because you really enjoyed it because you've got that sweet tooth, haven't you?
Yes, alas, I do. Yeah. yes, but that the bin men, when they come tomorrow morning to ours, will be going to our recyclable rubbish and going, flipping heck, this is heavy. All the bottles in it.
They'll probably ask you to pay them more.
Didn't you and Sarah go to Laura's Larder in Petswood on the way down
there?
Because I'm not sure what came out of that.
No, we did, because obviously I've been telling Sarah a lot about Laura's Larder, but I bought her some kimchi from there because I know she really likes that, and I eat a lot of the kimchi because it's absolutely delicious.
Mm.
Really great quality. I mean, it's phenomenal. And she had said to me, oh, I've already finished mine. I went, what do you mean you finished yours?
Mm.
She's obviously eating it like nobody's business. Anyway, she was in Chislehurst at the gym, and she was like, oh, can we go to Laura's Larder? So I said, well, I've got to drop off actually a hamper of Sweet Delights from Laura Larder, which was Loretta Wright of Life in Mags won at our LTB event for the silent auction. So I said, I'm going to go deliver that to her in Orpington. Then I'll meet you in Laura's Larder and we'll have a coffee and stuff. So yeah, we met there. She not only bought some kimchi, but she bought some other delights.
Mm.
And of course, I didn't come out empty-handed either.
No.
which was stage. Bought this really nice truffle cheddar cheese and black pepper cheese.
Lovely.
And, of course, kimchi.
The funny thing was, I was there earlier that day myself buying tomatsu chili oil, which has bits in. Yeah. So.
And yeah, I had my eye on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to pick that one up and buy it, but I didn't.
Yeah. Well, there were several more jars there, so if you go back, or other people listening to this go back, it is very nice stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yes, we went to Laura's Larder, and then she shot off home to do her dogs and all of that kind of stuff, and then we met at yours.
Indeed.
And it was a wonderful, wonderful evening. It flew by really quickly, didn't it? Before we knew it was midnight, and then your wife, Jackie, oh, she's a conniving one. She's like, oh, just have drink.
Yeah, but
and then all of a sudden we're like, okay.
Yes, you're always receptive to that.
And before we knew it was like 2:30, 3:00.
It was 3 o'clock when we left, yeah.
It was 3 o'clock, wasn't it? And when Sarah and I got home, we had a puka night tea to relax. And obviously we didn't get to bed probably till about 5:00.
Yeah, that's splendid.
5:30.
One of my ambitions in life is to carry on having evenings like that, like forever. So I intend to be the worst behaved person in the nursing home who they get really fed up with because he's drinking large amounts of wine into the small hours with whatever buddies creep in.
Wine and JD.
Yeah.
Wine and JD. But we did miss Chandra Sharma of Elmcroft Business Services, didn't we?
Yes, because he's relocated to his Indian branch at the minute.
Yes, on holiday.
Not that he has got an Indian branch, but he's gone to India.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? I'm really delighted because by the time this goes out, I will have had Elora Lee, who I've spoken about quite a lot. Well, we have actually, who was the 9-year-old kidpreneur that spoke at our event, our 1-year anniversary event. Well, she's appearing on the radio show, Mindset Matters, on Friday the 22nd. So,
yes, I believe she's described as a mental health advocate at 9 years old, and both of us have got her journals.
Self-development journal. Yeah. And here it is. Mine says, believe in yourself.
I'm not sure if my one actually has got self-development on it. I'm not sure I want to cope with self-development. I think just being able to live my life without falling apart will
do. That is self-development. Yeah. Every day is a development.
Yeah, I've been a lot of them today. Coming down here, going through the various traffic lights that had suddenly popped up around Bromley.
And no doubt at all, you would have actually brought out a strategy or skill in order not to get frustrated and angry.
Yeah, I rang Sarah.
There you go.
Which did help. Yes, so.
So that was wonderful. Yeah, that was another buzz of mine. So, or will be a buzz of mine.
Yes, it certainly will. Mindset Matters meets a 9-year-old.
At 10:30.
On Friday. The second it was. Which will then disappear over to Anchor FM and Spotify.
Everyone will be able to listen to it then.
Yeah. Right, well, I'm going to introduce an interview a little bit later, which is also going to go out as a standalone episode because we like doing those too. But in the meantime, I am not so much buzzed as relieved because today was the deadline for County Chronicle Magazine's monthly Bromley Buzz column, which has given me some cheerful things to put in.
You've been doing that a good few months now. Yeah. It's wonderful.
So I'm going to give you the last one in a minute. But the first one was Bromley's post toppers are still doing their thing. Those crocheted scenes which are on top of various post boxes around.
Did you see the St. Patrick's one that was out there?
Is that in Petswood? I've seen one in the distance.
I can't remember
where
it was. I think it might have been. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I said I'd turn my phone off for this and then I'd suddenly find the need to show you something. So I'll show you the post topper in a minute because I haven't put it out on any social media yet. But it's got lovely animals on it and birds and things. Aww. The one I saw in Pound Court Drive, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, in Orpington. Well done, those post topper folk. Right, on to you, because the last thing that I mentioned was something we have indeed talked about already in this episode and separately, but I'll quote myself here. The first anniversary of the Let's Talk Better campaign was celebrated at Community House in February. Speakers included Councillor Mike Botting, Mayor of Bromley, who incidentally will be on the podcast early in April. Elora Lee, you mentioned earlier on. Suicide survivor Nick Wilson, who came down all the way from Milton Keynes to do so. And business consultant Emma Mayhew, who expressed herself through poetry and is coming back in June, because we've just been talking about that.
And who's coming back in June? Sorry.
The Let's Talk Better event is
back in June. We also had Loretta Wright, who spoke.
Oh, yeah.
Guest speaker as well.
Oh, I haven't mentioned the dog contingent either.
No.
I just picked those three out of the assembled folk.
Daphne and Nola.
Yes, indeed. Of Care Dogs.
Care dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the dogs. To put the word.
Yeah, that's the porcine branch.
Yes.
Walk around if you're lonely with a pig.
Fantastic. Yes, and our next event, is in June. Actually, June 28th. If I get the venue, I've actually marked the date, but I haven't actually asked for the venue.
That's the only reason
I
wasn't going to.
But I did send the email today.
Well done.
I did send the email out today. I kind of wanted to mention, I had a really, really great meeting with Saz Wanagumord, who is the founder and CEO of the Young Entertainers Academy Awards that she's recently, last year she'd done. Mm. And I met her a couple of years, 3 years ago now, in lockdown. And it was just really nice to have a great, great catch up with her and the work that she's doing around the Young Entertainers Academy Awards for young people in the performing arts to be heard, to be seen, to be noticed, because they may never get an opportunity in London. So she kind of brought London out to the community, and this is all about the community. And she just put a post out today, actually, to say that the, the, when you apply, nominations, thank you.
Yes, my silence helped enormously, obviously.
The nomination. Yeah. So she says, announcing the inaugural.
Inaugural.
Thank you, I can never say that word. National Award Ceremony, honouring creatives in our community. And it's not just London Borough community, it goes beyond that. Join us in celebrating the remarkable talents of our young performers in the arts. Individuals aged 16 and above are invited to nominate either themselves or a distinguished leader in the field of performing arts. Nominations open on the 31st of March 2024 and can be submitted through their website. And it says, don't miss this opportunity to shine a spotlight on outstanding contributions to the performing arts. Headline sponsors Goldsmith University. And their website is youngentertainersacademyawards.com.
Lovely. And we already know people who could be after that. We've seen them ourselves. Yeah. So people like Skylark Dance, for example.
Yep. So, I mean, Magpie Dance, who was
Magpie as well.
Performed at our Let's Talk Better. They were there last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just open for everyone. You know, it's the outstanding talents of these young people across a variety of categories and sectors. You know how important the arts is and how it was hit during the lockdown and COVID times. But what I think what's more important is that Saz comes from a performing arts background. She, you know, that was her degree.
Mm.
And then she has a family who are in the arts as
indeed.
Well. One indeed. But I'm not going to say too much about that.
In which case, I'm going to shunt the next piece of news out of the County Chronicle to the fore. Because in the last month, which only is a monthly column, we saw, two of us saw Jack Jesus Christ Superstar at Churchill Theatre, which is very good. But as of the weekend, Jackie and I went to see the Creative Curve Theatre Company's show, Not Such Stuff, at the Wickham Theatre Centre, which hosts Theatre 62. And I did a review for it on the Bromley Buzz website, which went up last night. And I'm borrowing some of the words from that here. So, as I say, lines borrowed from Shakespeare were woven into a script written in his style, but with a modern take. And I interviewed the director in episode 160. And the show drew the audience into a cauldron of regret, pain, passion and fury. And then I name all of the actors. I'm not actually going to name all of the parts here, but I think it's good to give credit to actors appearing in things.
Absolutely.
So the director is Lorraine Spenceley, mentioned her name now. And the actors include, starting with Lady Macbeth, by the way, that's a really good one. Is this an actor I see before my heart? Yes, it is, and it's Kate Sanderson. Sarah Kidney, Alice Foster, Layla Malik, Anna Seabrook, Christopher Wickert, Susan Cunningham, and Nikki Malonis. One of them, if I remember correctly, it was possibly Christopher Wickert. That was it, Marina. Layla Malik. She was looked quite young in the context of the cast, and she gave a fairly blood-curdling rendition of some stuff that had happened to her character in Shakespeare, which she was none too happy about. And this was it. It was the characters from these big plays, including Juliet, who was very raunchy, I might add, on the occasion as well. So Shakespeare did not hold back on that kind of a thing either. Revisiting the roles that had been inspected of them, which were effectively to obey as submit and accept, and showing they absolutely did not want to be going around submitting, obeying and accepting. And they managed to express their resentment. And I'll tell you one thing which is a bit sad.
What's that?
Ah, thank you. I got you to put a word in edgeways. Thank you, Z.
You're on a roll.
I was trying to work out how to do it. And that was when we were talking about the way that women have come forward, as it were. The roles of women, the level of equality since those days. Alice Foster and others were talking about the fact that this may be so, and there's still a lot more journeying to be done, but it's also the case that women often feel right now still very vulnerable in many ways. And I can think of one of them alone, because it's been in the press quite a lot lately, last few months, which is the walking alone when you've got a man walking in your vicinity, that kind of a thing. And coercive control, another one that's been coming up. Yeah, there's a lot more work to do. So I'm glad that play was out there.
I mean, you know, not only that, I think also, it's just kind of, you've just reminded me of something that recently happened, which I can't talk about too much, because for various reasons, but, you know, even feeling vulnerable for young people, I'm talking about in particular online.
Well, I'm listening to a BBC Sounds production at the moment, The Gatekeepers. And I've actually been speaking online to the chap that wrote it and narrated it as well. But part of that is the story of a, I think, 14-year-old who took her own life after being exposed to an awful lot of unpleasant stuff around depression, suicide, self-harm online. And that's that, which they've allegedly made some movements to fix. But at the same time, something which is very well known is cyberbullying.
Yeah.
There was actually a comedy show at the weekend that said 97% of young people of 12 years old have now got smartphones, which means at least the other 3% have got no access to being cyberbullied.
Shocking.
Which isn't a very good bit of comedy, but there it was.
Anyway, on an uplifting note.
On an uplifting note.
Should we go on to my affirmation, or have you got something else there?
I do, but I'd like to hear your voice rather than mine for five minutes. So,
okay.
And it's going to be even more positive than this, which I might slightly moan about anyway.
Right. Oh, no, we're not doing any moaning, so moan away, and then we'll go into my affirmation.
Hang on. Done.
Okay, so this week's affirmation that I've picked out is, first of all, practicing affirmations, can activate the reward system in your brain, which can have an impact on you, the way you experience both emotional and physical pain. Knowing you have the ability to manage difficulties can boost confidence and self-empowerment, further promoting faith in yourself. Now, this one in particular I have put up is because I know around me, including myself a little bit, but more it's about the people that have been around me who are going through a difficult time because of injuries, their bodies, all sorts of things are happening in their lives, and it's having a toll on their body. But the one thing I can say is their mindset around this, even though they're really struggling, is so resilient and powerful and uplifting. And they're trying as much as possible not to let it affect them and get them down. So this affirmation is especially for them or anyone else who is struggling with their body at the moment. My heart and my body is sacred, and I'll take care of it. I trust my body to know what it needs, and I'll listen to it, treating my body with love and kindness always.
That's very good, especially when you're speaking to someone who's largely abused his body by not having enough exercise and eating and drinking the wrong things for a long time.
However, over the last few months, you've been doing really, really well. Even though we had our mad, mad night on Saturday, you still took yourself out for your walk the next day.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Because when I appeared at the door, your hair was sticking up on ends. I was like, whoa, yes. Electric shock.
Yeah, it was the woolly hat I'd put on having the effect when I took it off again.
So that goes to show that you care about your body, you're dedicated, you're motivated.
Well, I don't do much in this regard, but since late last year, I've done 6,000 steps a day minimum, usually nearer 7 or plus, and it's now 71 days, and I refuse to come off that if I possibly
can. Absolutely, you're doing so well, because it's now become a habit for you, and you're enjoying it, and it doesn't matter how many steps you've done. If you want to, you can put a target on it, but the fact is, you're getting out there, you're doing it, and you're enjoying it, and it's doing wonders for you.
Yeah, well, we'll see what wonders it might perform, but...
well, mentally it is.
Probably.
It gives you that space to think.
Yeah, I need to listen to more music.
You don't look convinced.
No. I'm convinced by the fact it does make me feel good, and also feel good for getting an achievement. Talking about achievements, the one I was going to refer to just now, London-based property specialists are making moves, have named Bromley as the best borough for working families to live in London. And their director of operations, Sally Evans, refers to being situated in London is hugely beneficial for work as companies encourage office returns. Living in boroughs like Bromley while working in the city provides an excellent work-life balance. Pleased to see that we're recognised as the best area for families. It's not just about attractions, it's about short travel time to the office, access to green space, excellent air quality, education and low crime rates. And as I then pointed out in this article, it's also a place where the office for many of us who are employed or self-employed happens to be co-working spaces such as Newman and Devonshire Flexible Workspace, Contingent Works and Clockwise. And rumour has it another one is opening soon.
One's already opened up. Are you talking about the one in Orpington?
Yeah.
Yeah, which we need to get a date down there to visit because they're taking bookings. Also, T Bromley has revamped as well.
Oh, has it?
Yes, they've revamped their offices as well. But also, I want to include something else in there. Bromley is, or should I say, the London Borough of Bromley. Mm-hmm. We, next to London, we have a huge percentage of diversity.
True.
A huge, huge percentage compared to a lot of other boroughs.
Mm.
That's obviously not including London.
Yeah, it's more... I'm just taking a word for that one. It's more visible when you go to places like Penge.
Mm. Mm. But even here, when you walk down the streets of Bromley, there's quite a range of diversity.
Well, one of the great things about diversity for me is restaurants.
Oh, yes. Of course, restaurants.
Yes, of course, restaurants. Oh, come on. Things that unite people. Music, food. And drink. No, those are some of the best. Talking of things that unite people, books can as well, and poetry and things like that. And that's why I'm going to introduce at this point either all of or an excerpt from an interview I did recently with Francis from the Books in the Park event, which is coming up, and I'll mention this in What's On in a minute because I've got the actual date down there.
Mm.
But I think it's the 13th of April.
Yes, it is,
along with a couple of other interesting things. So over to Francis and I on Zoom.
Yeah, welcome to the Bromley Buzz, Book Festival founder.
Hello there.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, Darren. My name is Francis Fuller, and I'm one of the directors of a newly formed community interest company called Arts in the Park. And for our first ever event, we're running our first Books in the Park Festival.
Yes, and that's coming up fairly soon. Could you remind us of the date?
It's on Saturday, April 13th.
Yeah, and it's a debut festival. So who is Francis and why are you doing this?
Good question. Well, I'm a retired nurse and public health specialist, and I have a love of reading and also a love of nature. And in my retirement, I'm working as a volunteer at Beckenham Place Park. I'm one of the community gardeners, and it's I've learned to love it very much, enjoy the beauty of the park and being outside in nature. And it's something I've always wanted to do, I think. In the back of my mind, I've always wanted to run a book festival. And finally, in my retirement, I've met a really lovely bunch of fellow volunteers who also share my passion for reading and for nature. So we've been chatting over the months about ideas of what it might look like and how Beckenham Place Park is such a perfect setting for something like this. And so from those very early chats, We have a fully formed festival coming on April 13th, which I'm really excited about. I have two fellow directors, Angela Hymas and Sue Rebus, and we've been working really hard to plan everything. And we have a fantastic committee too. There's only six of us doing an awful lot of work to plan it, but it's been really exciting.
And the majority of it is in a rather historic building, if I'm not much mistaken.
That's right, in the very, very lovely mansion at Beckenham Place Park. So all of our adult events will be run in there. And then we also have a beautiful homestead courtyard, which is where it has a lovely classroom inside it, where all the children's events will be run.
So could you give me an idea of the actual programme for the day, when it starts, and what people can expect?
Well, it's something for everyone, I hope. So I'll maybe start off with our children's events. So they're going to be kicking off at 9 o'clock. And we're working with our first event. We have an under fives session run by Lewisham Libraries, and they're coming to do a read along with the children. And this is a free event, and that should be great fun. And followed by, we've got three fantastic children's authors coming for different age groups. So we've got a 5 to 8 year old session with the lovely Alex Velasquez-Coya, and he's going to be talking about his book called Marv and the Killer Plants. And he's been doing some interactive quizzes and design their own Superman suit, and explore what their special superpowers might be. So that, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. And then followed by, we've got two lovely authors for the 9 to 12-year-olds. So Alexandra Shepherd will be talking about her book called Alyssa and the Spell Garden. And Natasha Ferrant will be talking about The Rescue of Ravenwood and The Girl Who Talked to Trees. So all of our events are linked to nature, the joy of being outside, and the environment and sustainability. So all of our authors are linked to that too. So those are the actual author events, but we also have an awful lot else going on for children. We've got scavenger hunts around the park. We've got a book swap, got design your own bookmarks, and a wild walk with Wild South London. And I think as we speak, we're going to be adding more walks because they've been really successful and selling out really quickly. So these are all free. So that's the children's events. And then for the adults, this will be held in the beautiful mansion building in the lovely dining room with views right over the park. Again, we've got some fantastic authors. We've got a mixture of fiction and non-fiction. Again, all linked to nature, the environment, gardening, growing themes. So to start off at 11 o'clock, we've got the lovely Jill Johnson and Amelia Hart, who were both their novels, Devil's Breath and Wayward, were featured on the BBC's Between the Covers programme. They're being interviewed by local author Annie Lyons. I think that's going to be a really fun session. Followed by Isabel Lasada, who is a joyful environmentalist. So all things to do with the environment and how we can make a positive impact, but in a very light-hearted, fun way. And followed by Claire Rattanan, who will be discussing her memoir, Unearthed. And she is the Guardian's gardening correspondent. And she will be interviewed by the head of horticulture at the Horniman Museum, Errol Ruben Fernandez. So that's going to be a really, really interesting session. And then last but not least of the day is Ben Jacob, who's going to be discussing his memoir, The Orchid Outlaw. Now, he's all things orchids. He's spent his life passionately trying to save the orchids in Britain, and has been traveling all around the country, had many adventures along the way, and he's going to be talking about that, and I think that's going to be great. And then also on top of that, we have Annie Lyons, again our local author, who's running a fiction writing workshop for all you budding writers out there. And then Jill O'Halloran is going to be running a poetry writing workshop. So there's an awful lot going on. It's a really packed programme. And as I said, I hope it will be something for everybody to enjoy.
Smashing. And how can people find this online and get tickets?
So our website is www.booksinthepark.org, all lowercase. So our website has all details of each of the of the whole programme and of the authors as well, and you can book through that.
Lovely. And we've got some sponsors. They're very important people to an enterprise like this. Yes. Would you like to share some of them?
I would. I just would like to say a big thank you to our sponsors. Without them, this just wouldn't have been possible. So in particular, I want a big shout out to Kelly from Beckenham Bookshop, who is on our organising committee as well, and is going to be bringing along all her books on the day. So you can buy any of the books from the speakers at the bookshop, which will be held inside the mansion. I'd like to also thank Lewisham Council, and in particular James Allen, who's the park ranger, who has been helping support and helping us to set everything up. So our sponsors are a lovely Lewin at the Homestead Cafe at Beckenham Place Park, Jumping Bean, Shop in Beckenham, Phoenix Community Housing, PPM Flat Maintenance, the London Fire Defence, Pure Lake Group, the Bromley Court Hotel, the Three Hounds Bar and Brewery, and Beckenham Art Society. So really want to say a big thank you to everybody for their support.
Nice to hear several names which we've shared on the podcast in the past in one way or another as well.
That's good.
Right, I have a final closing question for you, and that is, who is your favourite living author? I'm asking this because then you can target them for next year.
I love Maggie O'Farrell.
Drop her a line for next year.
Yes, will do. No, hopefully next year will be really exciting. See what we can plan. So I think the main thing to say is that this year is our sort of first event. It's our test event. We want to find out what people love or don't like so much. And then we can, you know, plan a bigger, better festival for 2025.
Well, all I can say is I hope that people come out and enjoy the park and the books in the park. And good luck with your event.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I hope you can come along too.
It's in the diary. It's literally on the What's on the BromleyBuzz.uk website as we speak.
Fantastic.
There we go. That was very bookish.
Very nice. It's nice to have a variety.
I have a feeling I might have asked her at one point what her favourite book is, and that may have thrown her a bit. I can't remember.
She probably went, my own book, of course.
So it's nice to hear that the Beckenham Bookshop, an independent, is supporting that festival, though. Nice. I do like them. Yeah, small but perfectly formed bookshop. Although I don't actually go there so very much. I have bought books in there, but I tend to disappear down to the National Chain Waterstones.
You know what?
In,
I still have not been in there. I need to go into that one. Not visited. It looks
well, they
very
do
nice
events. They do nice events.
Do they?
No. Okay. Authors events, that kind of a thing. Right.
Right, so what's coming on the What's On? We've got a couple of
news items
and socials.
And
news.
Yeah. Right.
You might want to do the spotted and social because I have no idea what those numbers represent. Obviously, yeah. They're posts and things, but for what, I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you can do the middle of this particular sandwich, I will do the first line on the news from the News Shopper.
Okay.
And then I'll do the spotted and social, but you can do the South London Press bit in the middle, which could be a read over. Right, so the News Shopper, the title is misleading. So the News Shopper online, if you go on there, has the best and worst Bromley McDonald's according to TripAdvisor on it, right?
Oh.
The only trouble is, it should have been called the worst and the worst Bromley's McDonald's according to TripAdvisor, because I think they were measuring them out of 5.
Okay.
And the best score any of them got was 2.5. So it was like, and the recurrent theme was cold food, amongst others. And you know what? The people in McDonald's work flipping hard at what they do. So well done to the workers of McDonald's. And, well, let's hope you get more positive surveys coming back in the future. Okay. Do you want to cover the South London Press?
Yes, let me have a look at the South London Press. So, two dedicated and hardworking staff members at Better Libraries covering Bromley, Greenwich and Wandsworth have been shortlisted for a distinguished award from Libraries Connected. Libraries Connected is a national charity and membership organisation that champions the value of libraries across the UK. The award celebrates the achievement of library workers who have had an exceptional impact on the library services, users or their local communities. Jill Nutkins, stock librarian at Bromley Libraries, has been nominated for the Vision and Print Impaired People's Promise category. This is due to her dedication to making library services more accessible to people with additional needs. How wonderful.
Good luck in her winning it too.
Yes, that is nice. And do you know what? There's all, well, for a long time, over the last 5 years, maybe a bit more, 5-10 years, there's constant talk about shutting libraries down.
Mm. They've done well to survive and
prosper.
They have
done really well. I mean, I remember at one point, I think it was just before lockdown, they wanted to close the Bromley Library.
Mm.
And everyone was out there petitioning. And I'm so glad it hasn't.
Well, apart from anything else as well, we've got Chandra Sharma is now employed in there on the startup Bromley side for local business people. And I'm on the panel of people that people will be able to choose from to get advice from if they're members of that for free.
And also, we do provide coaching services or mentoring services for businesses and new entrepreneurs and everyone. So it's really good.
Well, I've been on both sides of the fence. I've enjoyed the positive feedback I've had on giving people PR copywriting advice, those two things. And at the same time, I had some very timely, very good quality coaching from Lee Lamb, who's based in Orpington, for free through Startup Bromley hitherto. And she'll be back.
She is back.
Yeah. But anyway, you're now the clarity coach on there.
And I'm the clarity coach on there, yeah. I have a couple of people lined up, so I'm just waiting for them to get in touch with me, which is great. Right, so spotted on socials, away.
Back to food.
Is it back to food?
Yeah, I've seen...
Oh, now I get it, roast. Yeah.
So on X, Twitter, I think it is. Might be an Instagram, actually. But anyway, whichever. If you were to look up at roast, R-O-A-S-T, bistro, B-I-S-T-R-O-W-W, that means Roast Bistro West Wickham, then you will find a hot meat sandwich and salad company, pie and mash and liquor, posh meals on wheels and Sunday roast specials every day at 2 Bell Parade West Wickham. I would like to visit that because I'm already a fan of... Munch? No, it's not called Munch. Mustard. Thank you. Mustard. Thank you, Darren. In Southborough, which makes wonderful sandwiches.
Oh, yes, you took me to that.
I did indeed. Yeah, and I'm hoping that this might be in a similar vein.
Mm. My mouth's watering.
Yeah, well, it is dinner time. Have you eaten?
Yes.
Oh, good. Excellent. I'm glad. I've just had two of your Jaffa cakes. So I'm happy
that's
too.
Not food. So, what's on?
What's on?
Going a wonderful marble cake.
Yes, we're going to go.
We're going backwards. We're doing the whole backwards thing again. Yeah. Oh my goodness!
It makes it easier for the website to run, I'm afraid.
Here we
go. But anyway, okay, well, let's just take turns. 30th of April to the 4th of May.
Oh, we're going that way. I thought you started the other way.
Oh, I don't mind as long as people know the dates. So 30th of April to 4th of May, a marble cake, which we've seen an excerpt of at the Let's Talk Better event, and it was great.
I've seen the actual thing.
And you've
not
seen
the excerpt.
I've
seen the excerpt.
There's going to be a mass friends outing to this, I think.
There is.
We'll be at the Bridge House Theatre in Penge. And we did do an interview with the cast of two hitherto as well.
The directors and writers of it. Mm-hmm. Olivia Penhallow and Nathaniel Allen. There you go.
Mm. So do you like to cover the Oscar Wilde?
So Lord Arthur Savile's Crime, Theatre 62, West Wickham. That's running from the 29th of April to the 3rd of May. And then again on the 13th, this is right up your street, Charlesfield Cricket Club.
First 11
versus United Kent CC Oh, you should have read this one because it's all crickety. I don't do crickety.
I didn't realise it. To a degree, it does have its own language there. You're quite correct.
you did it for me.
But I think it's their first home game of the season. Could be wrong.
Okay.
And if you wrap up the fact on 13th of April, you've got the Books in the Park Festival. You could go around and watch some people whacking a red ball around, make some puppets, and go and talk to some authors all in the same day in Bromley. Right. Well, I say that. The Books in the Park Festival is in Beckenham Place Park, which is just outside, but, you know, what's a few feet?
Yeah. Why, it's Greased Lightning! Greased Lightning, oh, Greased Lightning. Churchill Theatre, from the 12th to the 20th of April.
I must say, you did that well. It's really exciting. All right, then. What can I do to echo this one? All right. There we go. Home, I'm Darling. The Bromley Little Theatre between the 12th and the 20th of April. Dear.
Hi. Welcome home. Tea is on the table. 24th of March. Petswood Antique Fair. Petswood Memorial Hall. 200 Petswood Road, BR51LA, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's not on for that long. It's only a couple of hours.
That's very true. And after all that setup, they take it down again. But I think it's a first event there, sort of this, so hopefully it goes well for everyone. Mm-hmm. The 21st to the 23rd of March, I'm going to this week. I'm losing my grip. Metamorphoses, Bromley Little Theatre. Which is a Greek play, I believe. Can't remember who it's by, though, which is awful. Never mind.
Well, you're going to it, so you'll be able to tell us more on the next buzz.
Quite correct.
And finally, ending off, 19th of March, Radfield Home Care Bromley, Orpington and Beckenham, Live in Care launch and Connections Cafe event at Community House, South Street, Bromley. And they have the wonderful Mayor of Bromley, Councillor Mike Botting, going along. So, yes, this will have already happened. So do look out on the socials for what the event was all about and what happened.
Well, the thing is, in any case,
it's really, really great.
It's worth mentioning for a couple of reasons. One of them is the Connections Cafe is a monthly event anyway, so there will be another in due course. And clearly this is a big step forward for the company, who have been supportive of us with Let's Talk Better.
Absolutely.
Which is very kind of them. They are now going to be providing a live-in care service.
Which I think is made, Radfield Home Care do a lot within the community. They also support in Orpington at the Methodist Church. They hold their events, I think it's once a month on a Thursday or something. Mm-hmm. They have the mornings where people go along and they can either do a bit of yoga, they have teas and lovely coffees and cakes. So, they're a huge part in the community.
Yeah, so we like them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Simi and Shanice, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Simi and Shanice.
Hello. I'm just trying to think of a song to buzz out on, which could be related to care in some way. Ah, I got it. My Baby Just Cares For Me, Nina Simone. Do you remember that one?
Goodness, yes, I know. I don't know if I can hum the tune.
I can give it a shot.
Go on, you go for it again. On your own.
And it's Darren Wheel and Zeenat Nirani saying goodbye from the Bromley Buzz with a possibly buzz. Appalling version of My Baby Just Cares For Me coming up.
Buzz, buzz, here it comes.
I've got over self-conscious
or
now. No.
Or not.
I'm humming it rather than buzzing it. It's got a jazzy intro, isn't it? Oh, I'm not doing it at all.
You're not doing it.
I'm not
it.
Feeling it. It's too late in the day. Sorry, Nina. I told her she had a reputation for being a bit fierce with people, Nina. She heard me murdering her song like that. It'd be dreadful.
Oh, dear, yes. Let's just give it a little gentle buzz.
Absolutely.